slant pattern, and Fox was throwing it outside.
Looks like we got a timeout here.
And that's what makes the quarters long. So they'll take that timeout. Again, we'll step away for two minutes at halftime, then we'll come back. WRJN in Racine and WZTI in Greenfield.
It's been a fun half of football again. We talked about the score, 28-0. Burlington able to get those touchdown, turnover, touchdown in a matter of 20 seconds, really open this one up. Huge momentum change for Burlington, and things have continued that way here in this first half of live football action.
Should be our last play of the half. Fox in the gun, wide outs to the right and left. Nope. Talk too soon. Offsides on the Demons. So the 4 seconds remain.
They're going to be trying a 63-yard field goal here, it looks like. Clemensos is out there.
Oh.
62.
Okay. Carter Clementos. And we'll see here.
Some interesting instruction coming from the booth up here.
Yeah. Let's see. High snap, but they get it down.
A couple yards short.
Short.
Impressive boot, though, nonetheless.
And that's the end of our first half of play. With our score, Burlington 28, Westosha Central 0. We'll step away for 2 minutes. You're listening to high school football streaming live on DG Sports.
As the year winds down, your crew deserves a team-building event that's more than just chit-chat in a meeting room. It's always game time at X-Golf Kenosha, the perfect spot for private parties, corporate outings, and fundraisers that actually bring people together. Swing away with state-of-the-art golf simulators, kick back with cold drinks, enjoy great food, and soak in a vibe that keeps the good times rolling, rain or shine. Tee up your next event at xgolfkenosha.com or stop by the lounge off Highway 50 just west of Green Bay Road.
Marine Credit Union's passion is to empower this community. In partnership with the Salvation Army, help families experiencing hardship during this year's warm-up with Marine Drive. Bring in new or gently used coats, boots, gloves, hats, and more. Every donation goes directly to those families who need it most. Help chart the course toward a warmer, brighter winter, one step at a time. Stop by Marine Credit Union today on Green Bay Road, just south of Durand Avenue, to drop off your donations. Federally insured by NCUA. Fall has arrived, and Ferraro's serves up the flavors to kick off the season the right way. For over 50 years, Ferraro's has been the local go-to for classic pizzas, golden fried chicken, hot sandwiches, and calzones. This October, dig into the Bratwurst Pizza, loaded with bratwurst, a beer cheese base, sauerkraut, red onions, cheddar cheese, and topped with a savory brown mustard drizzle. It's sure to satisfy your lunch or dinner craving. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's, Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
It's the time of year when warm summer days make way for cool autumn nights. But once those leaves start to fall, the temperatures really start falling too. So phone Billing Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine today to take advantage of their incredible $59 furnace tune and clean special. And let the pros at Billing Waters make sure that your furnace is in tip-top shape for the cold winter months ahead. They're your one-stop shop at 262-989-1001 or online at buildingwaters.com.
Okay, we're joined by the athletic director at Burlington High School.
How you doing tonight?
You're happy tonight so far.
Yeah, our last couple games, home games anyway, that have been out here have been a bit of a struggle. So it was nice for us to execute there in the first half and play relatively clean football.
So So talking to Coach Redmer before the game, him and I had a real nice discussion. The victory is important, but also to get points. I mean, tonight, with a win, because of the points that Burlington has accumulated already, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on.
Mm-hmm.
They're projected being in the playoffs already with not even four conference wins.
Right, right. I mean, in the years, 2 years ago, we made the playoffs just with three conference wins. So it's possible in the old system. This new system, which is, it got passed overwhelmingly by the WFCA and the WIAA with the points, the wins against Division I teams certainly helped our points. We let, you know, started the season off against Janesville Parker, which were Division I teams.
Yeah.
We beat Beloit Memorial, which is, I believe, a Division I classification. We had the Wilmot win. So, you know, we want to finish the season on a strong note, playing well tonight and certainly carrying, hopefully, that momentum into next week against Waterford.
I can't believe how many coaches and athletic directors love this new way of doing the playoffs after the, I believe, the Ohio Federation, they do it there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, hats off to the coaching association for making this happen. You know, sometimes change is slow, but it seemed to make a lot of sense to me. Quite honestly, I didn't understand it quite at first. But the more you looked at it, the more it made a lot of sense. And you can see why other states had gone to this model as well. So I think it's a super positive thing for high school football in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Dylan's getting ready. He's got a question for you. Before I ask another one.
With this new model that we've kind of adapted here in Wisconsin, what do you think the biggest hurdle is of it? Obviously, it's something new. Coaches aren't really familiar with it. Media, definitely not really familiar with it. As an athletic director, what has been one of the biggest hurdles, I guess, trying to implement not only a new system, but such a diverse system, if you will?
You know, at the end of the day, you still got to win games. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that doesn't, you still have to win games. And if you get your four wins in your conference, you're guaranteed a playoff berth.
Right.
Can it help with seeding? I think that might have something to do with it. Those wins will help us. But at the end of the day, we know we're going to get a better seed if we can finish the year, you know, hopefully a win tonight and then, you know, playing well against Waterford next week. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think you can. It'll be interesting to see after 1 year, you know, where were some of the areas of growth or improvement and where did it truly benefit things. I think the coaches really liked, I really liked, we knew at the beginning of the season we're going to be a Division III football team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing for coaches. We were very much a border team for the last number of years between 2 and 3, 25 kids short, 10 kids short, 12 kids short. Now we know we're Division III and, you know, in a conference that's mostly Division II teams, with Badger and Beloit being Division I, you know, we're on the lower end of that spectrum as far as enrollment goes. So, you know, it's good for us. And you know, our league is as strong as it's ever been, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Eric, that in my neck of the woods, living in Franklin is undefeated, but they're actually projected as a 2 seed to, I believe it's Muskego,
okay,
with the 1 loss. But again, that's where the points come in and who you've played.
And when Franklin moves to the Classic 8, that'll be different. You know, I think that's just Classic 8 still is best conference in high school football.
Totally
agree
with you.
Without a doubt. You know, I mean, there are teams that wouldn't qualify for that in their playoff, the old playoff model, that I think have an opportunity now. So, and rightfully so. You know, if you're challenged every week in a league like that, you should get rewarded with your wins. But at the same time, you know, it'll be interesting when Franklin moves in. I mean, that conference just went from unbelievably good to even a higher level now.
I think it's very interesting how the system is working. Like, okay, you're 1 through 32 for the division, but then within that division, you're still getting subdivisions where it's 1 through 8, 1 through 8, 1 through 8, 1 through 8. And it's interesting. It's like that college aspect of college basketball where, okay, you get these many teams. You're the 1 seed in this thing. You're the 1 seed here. You're the 1 seed here. Well, you're the 1 seed here. But it doesn't really matter. Okay, a team that may be undefeated, but you played lower teams, you might get passed by a 1-loss team based on that schedule, who they played. And I'm very excited to see how it all plays out.
It'll be very interesting. Very interesting. It's definitely a big paradigm shift. I mean, personally, I've seen kind of the evolution of the playoffs. I can remember going way back when I was in high school. My senior year was the first year they let runners up into the conference playoffs, into the playoffs.
Okay.
In my senior year, not to toot our own horn, but like we made it to the state semifinals. In the old system, we would have never qualified because we weren't conference champions.
Yeah.
And then it slowly got a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, and then all of a sudden you have to, you know, just be 500 in your conference or better. And yep. I think it's been good. I do. It is one thing, though, like going longer in the playoffs, that experience for your players and your staff. And I think, you know, if you ask Badger, I mean, their sophomore group that made it to state last year, those kids have an extra almost 9 games of experience if they're brought up their sophomore year. And that pays off huge, you know. So the playoffs, I don't think they've talked about expansion. Hey, let everybody in. I don't think that. I mean, you look at some of those first week scores. It's, you know, round one scores. They're so lopsided. You know, not all of them. There's some good games, but the lion's share of them are not, you know, very lopsided.
So how do you see the future going for the Southern Lakes? Do you see that your conference realigning, having teams come in?
There was an initiative that was put forth that would have changed some things, and we felt very strongly about keeping our group of 8 together.
Okay.
You know, we all voiced those at the WIA. What I will say is in this conference, I don't think you're going to find a better group of people as athletic directors in the Southern Lakes Conference. Now, I'm saying that as a second-year athletic director, but they're quick to help you out. They'll explain things to you. They're just unbelievable good people, professional. And we kind of like that. It's been a good fit, geographically speaking, outside of Beloit. It's been a good fit for our group of 7, and we hoped for that to continue. But I think the only thing that's always continuous about conference realignment is that it's always changing. You know, it's always changing. So, you know, wait and see, I guess. But I like where we're at. I like the group of schools that we're with. We feel challenged. Our lower levels are getting filled up. We're able to get lower level games, and we want to keep that continuum.
So again, football is the only sport where every team doesn't get into the tournament, correct?
Correct. It's the only one that does. Yeah. So you have to qualify to get that extra week, and you know. So we're hoping to hopefully punch that ticket tonight.
And the teams that don't make the playoffs, They had an initiative for a while where you could play an extra game. I think they did away with that now, right?
You can, but speaking from experience, it's tough. It's tough because how do you handle that?
Yeah.
You know, we used it as a futures game one year, my years ago in East Troy, and it kind of ticked the seniors off. And then at the same time, it just didn't have the same focus. So some programs will do it as another opportunity to play. Because quite honestly, football, I mean, you start the beginning of August.
Yep.
But once it gets going, it's unbelievable that we're in week 9 already next week. It goes by quick.
It does.
You know, I think it's the shortest long season there is, to be quite honest.
When I was in high school, we played a 10th game against West Dallas Hale, and it was just something where, like, all week long it felt weird. Everybody was kind of checked out. The seniors didn't want to practice because they played a quarter and then weren't in the rest of the game to get young guys reps. And this is one of those things where it's almost harder to play it than it is to just, hey, we're done for the year.
You know, if you were to do it, I think you do it as, like, a matchup. You know, like, you get a true, like, you know you're going to play that 10th game if you don't make the playoffs, but they're going to match you up to somebody of a similar size, a similar record. It's going to be a competitive game. But even there, who knows if that works either.
Yeah. You good? Eric, we thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And you're happy. I think you get the ball to start the third quarter, too.
We do. We deferred and getting the ball back, and we got us, you know. We always talk about the middle 8, the last 4 minutes of the second quarter and the first 4 minutes of the third quarter are critical. And we played, you know, pretty well coming into half. Now we got to come out with that same execution. What's been good tonight is that we haven't had a lot of yellow on the field for us, which I think is huge. We can't put ourselves behind the sticks and have those penalties, because there was a couple last week that really were very costly in a game that, you know, we probably could have had.
Mm-hmm. So real quickly before we let you go, put your father cap on. Tell us a little bit about Grant. What is he? Is he pursuing going on to play collegiate football?
He is. He's passionate about football. I think he'd like to extend his career beyond high school. But what I'm really proud of is that he's making all of his decisions solely on what he wants to do with the rest of his life, which is getting in the field of medicine and nursing.
Oh,
so,
very good.
So he's kind of got it narrowed down to two state schools between Eau Claire and Oshkosh, and both are excellent nursing schools. I think he also really wants to just enjoy his senior year, which I've talked to him about. He plays basketball. He's a tennis player as well. You know, enjoy this. You're only going to get one senior year. And a good friend of his, unfortunately, got hurt this year and is out for the rest of the year. And I think he's appreciating every moment that he has. And I think the next level is going to be there. You know, whether, you know, you don't need to make a decision anytime soon.
Sure.
So as parents, we're super proud of how he handles his business in the classroom and where he's going. So, but yeah, I think he wants to play Saturday someplace. That's
okay.
For sure.
All right. Well, that's Eric Sulik, the athletic director.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Here at Burlington, and it's always a pleasure. And hopefully we'll see you down the road. All right, we'll bring Dan in for some thoughts before we start our third quarter, and we'll talk about this a little bit. I mean, we've only played one half of football, but I would have to say we got some tough decisions to make for my DG Sports player of the game. Who wants to field that first?
Well, I think right now, unless something drastic happens in the second half, I think we've got two big leaders in the clubhouse. Obviously, Grant Sulik, who unofficially I have at 12-17 for 273 yards and four touchdowns in the first half, and obviously his number one target, Jackson Bebo, who had five of those catches for three touchdowns and 138 yards. I tend to lean towards the quarterback in those situations because he's got to put the throws on the dime, but Bebo is making it easy for him.
Yeah. So I'm with you, but we'll see. Dylan can explain it to him. If we go with two, we can always get it. We can always get one to the other person. But we'll see how it plays out here. The key is going to be Burlington getting the ball. If they score another touchdown and convert that extra point. Again, go ahead, Dylan. Explain for our listeners. We have a running clock. However, if Westosha would get it under, right?
Yeah, so the unfortunate side to playing football at Cuddy High School, we've seen nothing but running clocks for most of my career. So you could call me an expert in it, if you will.
You missed the good old days there when they put the running clocks on.
I know. I wish I could have been there in the 90s, but unfortunately, I was born in the late 90s. So.
They did it to us my sophomore year of high school. So,
but, yeah, the rule is 35 points or more, running clock. If we're in the third quarter and it gets under 35, the clock will go back to a regular clock.
Yep.
Once we enter the fourth quarter, 35 points will run. Even if the team gets it back to within a point, it does not matter. We were able to do that one time against probably the team's JV3. All of a sudden it was 42-41, and we're like, oh, we got a chance, and run out of time on the clock. But, you know, it's a good part of the competitive balance. I'm a big fan of the running clock. I like that they put it in the first half now, if you want, once the second quarter starts. There's just some games where it's 50-0 at halftime. Nobody wants to be there in the entire stadium. Referees don't want to be there. The teams don't want to be there. You want to get out of there healthy as you can at that point. But
yeah, that's the worst thing about some of the mismatches is you got to worry about the physicality of certain teams and kids getting hurt when you really don't need to be out there anymore. So
Dan, Dylan and I have covered all of our teams that have qualified for playoffs up to this point other than Racine St. Catharines. Have you seen them play?
I did see them play, but it comes with a caveat. It was the game against Brown Deer where they I did see their game, though. I did watch it back when they played Lake Country Lutheran. That was a TV game.
Right.
I mean, you know, they had a lot to replace, particularly along the lines and down the line in the playoffs. That might be where someone gets them, but Okay. Their skill positions, particularly with Lamont Hamilton's playmaking ability on both sides of the ball.
And Eddie Vincent at quarterback.
Vincent at quarterback and some of these other guys that they have, Talamantes on defense, guys like that. Playing in Division Four, you're going to run into some teams from probably the capital, you know, like Lake Mills, they seem to come run into a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They match up, I think, pretty well with those teams because those teams are very similar to them in that they're big on throwing the football and getting it out there. It's maybe down the line if they run into somebody from, you know, northern Wisconsin. Now, they've had success against middle border teams when they've gotten to Camp Randall, but those are the teams that usually can really punish you in the trenches. And obviously that is probably the one spot of St. Cat's this year that doesn't quite match up with the team they had last year, but that is still going to be a very tough out in Division Four.
And last year, that playoff game to go to state, they were an arm tackle away from losing that one.
Yes.
So I was
watching that, Dylan, and he sent it to me and said, watch the end of the game, and I thought they were going to lose. I mean, if he wraps them up, I mean, it's over. Mm-hmm. But to Vincent's credit, he got out of it. However, the projections so far that have come out, nothing is official or on paper yet. But they do have St. Catherine seated as a one seed.
Yeah, they should most likely stay there. I mean, barring, you know, as long as they win. they won last night. Yeah.
They did. They played last night.
They played Thomas Moore. I think it was 53-0. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so luckily it looks like that unfortunate circumstances that led to their loss against Brown Deer aren't going to hurt them too much. So.
All right. Well, we should be just about set to get our third quarter underway. We're here at the Don Dalton Stadium where our halftime score is Burlington 28, Wistosha Central 0, and Clementos getting ready to kick off to the Demons, and they'll be hoping to punch one more in.
That was pretty impressive, that field goal attempt before halftime. It landed about 3 yards only short.
It was looked like it was right down the middle, landed between that N and the G end zone. So, I mean,
impressive kick.
He was online. We have a halftime score from Amici Field down in Kenosha. Tremper leads Park 14-12.
Oh, Park's got a chance. All right, Clementos to kick off here for the Falcons as we start our third quarter. There's the boot. Feel it at about the 3, up to the 10. 20. Cuts back inside. And that was Deet, I believe. Returning it. So the Demons will go. On offense, guys, what do you plan to see here from Burlington on this first possession?
Well, I think since they still have 7 more points to go to that running clock, they're going to try to get that score. So I think they're probably going to stick with the passing game for now.
Yep.
So I wouldn't look for any changes yet, but if they do get to that running clock, you might see some changes.
Well, they got wideouts, as you said, Dan. They got wideouts right away, immediately, right and left for Sulik. And he's got Doomer right there with him in the gun. Hands it off and has a nice hole here. Picks up maybe 3.
Dick, a little bit more surprising. At the end of the third quarter, Badger and Waterford still remains 13-3.
Wow. Waterford will not be an easy out for the Demons here.
No, there's a lot to be said with familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
Waterford has seen that Badger offense a lot over the years.
All right, wide outs to the right and the left. Just underway here in the third quarter. We played almost a minute. As he gets that first down. And again, Doomer on the carry. Move those chains. First and 10 at the 37-yard line.
It, I had Doomer for 26 yards rushing in the first half, but it seemed like he had an awful lot more.
Yeah.
Of course, I also said that they were going to come out throwing, and they've run twice in the quarter, so.
And actually spotted at the 43-yard line as Sulik, wideouts right and left. Falcons showing blitz. Hand it off again. And they're going with him now. They're riding Doomer.
Oh, he's getting 4 or 5 yards of carry. Why not?
So he brings it up to the 46-yard line. We've played almost 2 minutes here in the third quarter. 28-0. Burlington with the lead. Okay, got wideouts to the right and the left. For Sulik. And we got a flag. Doomer was the ball carrier, but and again, if they got him mic'd up, Dylan, he's very hard to hear.
I think they're saying something was wrong with the microphone a little earlier.
Okay.
Union Grove has scored again at the 7-minute mark. They're up now 28-6 over Beloit Memorial. So this is a 5-yard face mask. Once again, here in high school football, they do have the 5-yard incidental contact face mask, where the NFL and college does not enforce that. Always something I think is pretty unique. I would like to see it implemented at the college and high school or NFL level, but they probably never will.
All right, first and 10 for Burlington at the 47-yard line of Westolsha. Sulik hands it off again to Doomer. Another nice gain there. They'll bring up second down. Second and 5, as he did. He picked up 5 yards as we close in on 9 minutes to go. And again, also at the conclusion of our ball game, we'll run down our coaches poll for week 7, sponsored by The Bound. Sulik keeps it this time, now gets outside. And he may have got it. Nope, they're going to mark him short.
Yeah, by just a yard.
So stops the clock with 8:44 to go.
I was about to say, as a coach, this is what you want, but then he ran out of bounds.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, man, Burlington's like, well, we're going to come out, we're going to run, and if you can't stop us, we'll just keep running.
Yeah, evidently they saw something when they went in at half because, I mean, it's been run dominated here. All right, third and one at the 38 of Westolsha. They give it off again, and he's got it. And it's Doomer, Jake Doomer again. I guess he's the recipe for this this drive. So the clock continues to run. 8:30 to go in our third quarter. 28-0. Burlington with the lead. This win tonight will solidify their playoff spot. Projected to be with this win tonight would be a 7th or 8th seed. But again, that can all change with an additional win next week.
Yeah, as of right now, they are closer to the 6 than the 8
line. Are they?
Line, so.
Good, okay. So see, you've seen it, Dan, since I looked at it.
Yeah, I looked at it earlier. And,
okay.
Yeah, they're
that's
pretty
good. Good
pretty solid
them.
Spot. Just, you know, take care of your business, and chips will fall where they may. But
well, a 6 would play a 3. Mm-hmm. So.
Hey, Doomer, a nice little gain of 6 there on that play.
All right, second and 4 at the 34, I should say at the 29-yard line of Westolsha. Sulik, wide outs right and left. Back to pass. Throws it deep.
Touchdown.
And he's got it. Tomczak with the touchdown. And another one for Sulik. That could make the...
that might have inched him ahead a little.
That might push him ahead a little bit now.
Nice 34-yard pass.
Yep.
Hey, and see, like I said, they'll throw the ball.
Yeah, right on the dot. Putting him up by 34 with the extra point to come.
Whiteside with the important point after. High snap, but they get it down. And the kick is good. So with 7:11 to go in our third quarter, it's now Burlington 35, Wastosha Central 0. So we'll start with a running clock here once we kick off.
Yep, and the only things it stops for is officials' timeouts, injuries, which is technically an official timeout, but and then also a score or a turnover would stop it.
All right, so Whiteside to kick off for Burlington. And again, a lot of good feedback tonight, Dylan, bringing Dan in as we're getting updated on a lot of things.
He's been a huge part of this broadcast so far, helping us out with some stats, giving in great commentary. I'm very grateful for you here tonight.
There's the boot.
Pleasure's all mine, guys.
It's short, fumbled, and then picked up by Cooper. So Cooper on the return. And that clock is running now. So they'll start at the 31-yard line, their own 31-yard line. Let's see if Fox can do something here. It's got wideouts to the right and the left. Fox hands it off, trying to get outside, and they push him back inside.
Hack once again. Nice little carry there for the Falcons.
Yep.
Dikwa, thanks to the Racine County High School live score page.
Okay.
We have an update from Racine Lutheran and St. Francis. Racine Lutheran is up 34-0 in the third quarter.
Now again, unless Dan's going to tell me that's changed, they're projected as a two seed. Racine Lutheran. In the flat. To Juga.
That's going to be a little bit of late pageantry there.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, pretty impressive that six out of our nine schools that we cover are going to qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah, we've seen Lutheran should have a pretty strong number, but the one thing that might hurt them a little bit compared to other teams is that Midwest Classic small schedule has been a kind of a mess this year, to put it nicely.
Yeah, and we also, Dan, we also want to shout out to Catholic Central that they're one of our teams, but they unfortunately haven't played a full schedule all year.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if they play next week because apparently Kingdom Prep forfeited to Academy of Science last night. So.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see if they get that last game because that would be maybe a chance for them to win. At least have a competitive game.
Carry there by Hack on the play. He did fumble, however, but it was recovered by the Falcons.
I should believe that's Caden Kranz, right, the running back?
Or sorry, correct. Kranz on the carry.
8 and 9, I know it's pretty close, but... Unless I miss something.
All right, so it'll be 2nd and 10 now at the 48-yard line of Burlington. And the clock will start back up now. 4:20 and counting. Fox. And stoppage of play again.
I think the receiver here to this close sideline got a half a second head start. And it was going to be a 5-yard penalty. It puts them back to a 2nd and 10 here now.
Clock starts up again, 3:55 to go in our third quarter. 35-0, Burlington with the lead. Fox in the gun, wideouts right and left. Pass complete.
Fox just got rid of that ball before he got hit pretty hard.
I think Kranz on that reception.
And
so it's 3rd and 8.
Unfortunately for West Osha, as soon as he caught it, he got stuck by the Burlington defender.
Under 3 to play now in the third quarter. Fox in the gun, wideouts right and left. Hands it off to...
It's going to be close. A little short of that first down.
Yep.
There, Kranz once again. Nice little carry there.
So Fox will bring him out. 4th and 1 at the 44-yard line. Of Burlington. Wideouts right and left. Hands it off. He's got it. Moore.
Nice first down carry there for Kranz.
Kranz again, yep.
Kind of spun towards the end of the play. Didn't really do much for him as he was already through there, but nice gain of yardage there.
So under 2 to play now in the third quarter. And a reminder, at the conclusion of our ball game, we'll be picking our DG Sports player of the game. Fox on the handoff. This time, Burlington strung it out. He got some yardage, but not as much as you thought he would have got. Kranz again as he comes off. Clock continues to run, 1:20 and counting. In our third quarter. Fox in the gun. Here comes the pressure. Now wants to throw.
Wow. What a catch there by Juga.
And Juga caught it. And this score at the 1-yard line, they score here. That clock will start, will stop again. It won't be a running clock.
And they're really trying to get this score before
yes,
this quarter
are.
Runs out.
Fox hands it off. And he's in for the touchdown.
Go back to that previous play. That was a heck of a catch by Juga because that defender was draped all over him.
Kranz on the score, though, with 17 seconds to go. And as Dylan said, they wanted to get that in before the third quarter ended. We'll break for 30 at the end of this quarter. Clementos to convert, and it is good. So it's 17 seconds to go in our third quarter. It's now Burlington 35, West Osha Central 7. So now Burlington in that fourth quarter if they can score and go up again by 35, then it'll start running again. And then it continues to run.
Yep. Then at that point, it'll be no holds barred, if you will.
Talking about Clemenzos' leg strength there, that extra point, there's a lot of space between the back of the end zone and the fence with the track there here at Burlington, and his extra point landed on the other side of that fence.
Wow. All right, Clementos to kick off, and last year when we had him, he had touchbacks several times.
Yeah, and so much so that Burlington only puts one guy back there.
Yep. All right, he's going to kick it off now with the 17 seconds to go.
They're probably anticipating an onside kick.
Yeah, it could be. It's a pooch kick.
Ooh.
Well, they better pick it up, which they did finally. Fielded by Marino, Xander Marino. He brings it back to the 30, and that's where the Demons will start.
It's a nice little pooch kick by Clemenzos. He put some good backspin on it, and it died around the 22, but luckily Burlington was on it to pick it up, and as I've seen many times in high school football where the receiving team fails to jump on
them. Yep. All right, Sulik will bring him out. Got wideouts right and left. For Grant. Hands it off to Doomer. That's the end of our third quarter of play with our score, Burlington 35, Wastosha Central 7. We'll step away for 30 seconds. You're listening to high school football, streaming live on DG Sports.
Your crew's got to power through the postseason. Fuel up right now at Studebaker's Fuel and Food. From your favorite energy drinks, sodas, and adult beverages to a massive lineup of snacks, Studebaker's has everything you need to crush those game day cravings. Need it in a flash? Hit the lightning fast drive-thru and stock up without ever leaving your car. Studebaker's Fuel and Food, the all-stars of selection, service, and convenience. Find them at the corner of 31 and Spring in Racine.
National Reputation, Hometown Service.
Thanks for that, Dylan. We're set for live action again here as we start the fourth quarter. Now we'll have the clock stopping on incomplete passes out of bounds. And unless Burlington can score again and convert the extra point, then we'd have a running clock for the remainder of the ball game.
Two quick updates here. 10:20 to go in the fourth quarter. Badger 20, Waterford 10. We have a 17-yard touchdown pass for Waterford. And at the end of three, Union Grove 28, Beloit 12.
Okay. Sulik in the gun. Hands it off again. And it's Doomer. Doomer on that carry. So it's third and two for the Demons. They may be content to be doing more running than passing here. Eat up a lot of this clock. All right, he's got wideouts to his left. For Sulik. Rolls out. He's going to keep it. He'll get the first down, and he'll smartly go out of bounds after picking up the first down. So it'll stop the clock with 11:07 to go in regulation. 35-7. Burlington looks like they're on their way to their third conference win. More importantly, qualifying for the playoffs, and as Dan mentioned, looking more like a sixth seed right now. They'll have a big ball game next week against Waterford. Impressive Waterford is, they're playing Badger very tough.
About that, Matthew O'Grady, 65-yard touchdown run. Badger 27, Waterford 10.
There we go. Okay, just like that. Well, we talked about him. He was our DG Sports Player of the Game when we were here. He definitely, as I describe, people ask me about him. They say, how good is O'Grady? And I tell them, he's the real deal. It's just too bad he's not a little taller.
I think another two or three more inches, he'd be getting very big D1 looks.
Yep.
Just an impressive talent.
I think he's a pretty highly regarded baseball player, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So we're under 11 to play now in regulation. Sulik in the gun. He got wide outs. To his right, hands it off, coming down 50 into Westosha Central territory. Doomer again. So it stops the clock, though, with 10:39 to go.
And he was shoved out of bounds, so the clock is stopped.
Yep. If you're a Demon fan or coach, you don't want to see that, but it happens. All right, wide outs again to his right. Hands it off to Doomer. He's down to the 30, down to about the 26. Yep, Doomer on that carry. First and 10 again. Trying to close this one out.
The chunks of yardage here for the Burlington running game are getting bigger and bigger with every carry.
Yep, I think they're getting gas, the Falcons. Well, Sula calls them out, and they've actually got a very good offensive coordinator now at Burlington, the former Waterford coach, Adam Bakken. There's Doomer again as he takes it inside the 20.
Looks like that might be Xander Marino in a
It was. Right you now. Are correct. That was Marino on that carry.
One versus seven.
Seven.
It's tough
yeah,
to pick out.
You got to. Should have waited a hair longer before I called his name. Sulik in the gun again. He's got wide outs to his right. Hands it off. Coming to the outside. And got him at about the 15. Yeah, Marino on the carry. We're down to 9 to play in regulation.
So we got a 55-yard touchdown pass for Union Grove, so they're now up 35-12 over Beloit.
Okay, they're on their way. So that game for next week is for the conference title.
The battle of the undefeated.
Yes. All right, first and 10 at the 15 of Westosha. Okay, we got a new quarterback in there now. Wesley Ballman is now the quarterback. Or he was on that play. Now it appears Sulik is back in there. So second and 8 at the 13. Under 8 to play now in regulation. In the gun. And it is. It's Ballman at quarterback. Coming to the outside and scoring. Is Marino to make it 41-7.
Go ahead. Wham, bam, what a licking he took as he got his way into the end zone there. Around the corner, laid the boom.
Yeah, that run looked like it was going to go inside. He bounced it outside, and he raced to the pylon and finished it off by lowering the shoulder into the end zone.
Here's the important extra point right here, if you're a Burlington fan. There's a snap. It's down, and the kick is up. And the kick is good. So it's 7:37 to go. Seven is our score, and now that we have reserves in there, I think we're ready to name our player of the game. And I believe we are going to go with Grant Sulik. So 3-0, everybody agrees. Grant Sulik is our DG Sports player of the game. Dylan will go down and try to get an interview with him. But we will have a running clock here now the rest of the way. But Dylan's got he's got time. He doesn't have to leave yet, because they usually get to huddle up anyways. And Dan will give us his stats at the end of the game also, why he was selected as our player of the game. What a game for Grant Sulik. There's the kick by Whiteside. Fielded at about the 5. He's up to the 20, up to the 30. Still on his feet at about the 36-yard line. And that was Ray, Colin Ray, on the return. And again, our clock will continue to run now the rest of the way. Throws it in a flat here, complete up to the 40, up to about the 47, 48 yard line. And that is Ray. Clock continues to run, 6:40 and counting. Fox in the gun, throws well over the head of Juga. And again, the clock continues to run now with that running clock. And again, next week we'll come to you from Union Grove for the battle for the Southern Lakes Conference title. And he takes it down. The 35 is Kranz. So there's still wideouts to the right and the left for Fox. Fumbles it, and Burlington throws him back for a big loss. Clock will continue to run, 5:20 in counting. Again, if you're just joining us, our DG Sports player of the game for tonight is Grant Sulik. Incomplete. Hack to the intended receiver. And it doesn't stop the clock. We're under 4:05 to play now. Fox in the gun, wide outs right and left. Wants to throw, throws it out here, complete. And knocked out of bounds is Ray, but the clock will continue to run. 435 and counting. Fox in the gun, wide outs right and left. They're trying to score here again. He's going to air this one out.
Oh, touchdown, Mason Juga.
And it is Juga with the score. And look at the Falcons go down and celebrate with him. I like to see that. So Fox to Juga for the touchdown to make it 42-13. Nice job that time by Wistosha. So Clementos will try to make it a 42-14 score. There's the snap. The kick is up. And the kick is good. So with 4:12 to go in regulation, it's now Burlington 42. Wistosha Central, 14.
Hey, Dick, before I head down here, Union Grove has taken another lead, 41-12. So they're back striking the gold once again. And Badger has also gone up 34-10 over Waterford. So both teams really starting to claw away.
Yeah, that's what Badger does.
Yep.
Just grind and grind and grind, and eventually they break through and they start getting those big runs. It's amazing how many times you'll get a Badger box score and the run touchdown runs get longer as the box score goes deeper in the game.
So Wistosha, they'll be home next week to take on the Wilmont Panthers, and Burlington will have their finale here at Don Dalton Stadium against the Waterford Wolverines. That will not be easy. All right, so Clementos to kick off. And once he kicks off and it's fielded, that clock will continue to run then again. And there it is. It's an onsider. And recovered. Recovered by Burlington.
So like that was number 32, Walker Baumeister, on the recovery.
Okay.
He did a good job cutting inside of Clementos. They did the old Pat McAfee-style dribble it and have the kicker run out in front of it and try to dive on it when it went 10 yards. And just as it was getting to 10, Baumeister jumped on it before Clementos could.
So did Dylan, did he head down? I didn't see him. Did he sneak
Yeah, he snuck out of here.
He did.
It's a little stealth in the night here.
So Dan and I will take you home with 3:30 and counting. So Wistosha Central will fall to 0-8, 0-6 in conference. Burlington will improve to 5-3 overall, 3-3 in conference. More importantly, they're now in the playoffs. So it's Ballman on the carry.
Got a flag all the way on the other side from where the run was.
Actually, Ballman is at QB. Yeah, we'll see what that is.
Looks like it's going to be against Burlington.
Yep. See what he says here, if we can hear him. Personal foul, I believe.
Well, they only marked off 10 yards.
Okay.
Must have been a hold, looked like. Yeah. Hold block on a block of the back. Something like
poor
that.
Mechanic.
Probably a hold.
Yeah. Poor mechanic there, though.
Yeah, that's a tough penalty because that run went to the other side of the field from where that hold happened.
So Ballman in the gun. Wide outs both ways. And all new players in there now. That was Marino on the carry. He's still in there. So Marino's got a lot of work tonight. Under 150 to play now in regulation. 42-14. And again, Dan will provide all our stats at the end of the ball game also. After I run through the coaches poll for week 7, sponsored by The Bound, that will be the first thing we address at the conclusion here. So he's in the gun once again and hands it off to Marino, just trying to kill that clock as we close in on 1 minute to go. And I can spot Dylan down there on the field now. As we're under a minute to play, probably got to run one more play. And then we'll close the book on this one.